when I started, when Daniel asked me if I would preach this morning, my first reaction was, really? Okay. And then I asked God, what do you want me to talk about? Because I don't want to talk about something that I think you need to hear. I want to talk about something that God thinks you need to hear. So the first word he gave me, well, the first thing he said was, you don't need to know about it now. We'll get back to it sooner, closer to the time, which is because he knows me well, and he knows that if he tells me too soon, I'll then take it out of his hands and try and work it all out for myself. So then he said, a week or so later, he said, I want you to talk about legacy. And I was like, what? Okay. But that was all he gave me for a while. So to start with, I was like, are you trying to tell me something, God? Because every time I don't know what you think of when you hear the word legacy, but I think of it as something that you leave behind when you die. Now, I am starting to feel old. This is my 40th year. and I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if you've ever seen these older life insurance adverts. It was a British Seniors advert. And I was watching this advert, you know, what are you leaving behind when you die for your loved ones? And you can be, and anyone over the age of 50. And I turned to Chris and I said, in 10 years' time, I'm a senior. Nah. Although Chris is quite keen on encouraging me about how old I am. We have a constant battle in our household over the radio. I'm embracing middle age and enjoying radio too. Chris is hanging on desperately to his youth and pretending that he's still about 15 and listening to Radio 1. So we have this constant battle. But anyway, I'm fairly confident that God is not trying to tell me I'm on my way out, and that's why I'm talking about legacy. And I promise this is not a morbid talk, but it is about what we are leaving behind. What are we building? The other thing I think of when I hear the word legacy is, who went to see anything in the Olympics in 2012? Anyone? Yeah. Anyone watch that very silly comedy that was on TV around the time, it was called 2012, about it was a spoof of the Olympic Committee and everything that they were building, and they were always going on about legacy, legacy, legacy. And they had a special subcommittee to talk about legacy, and legacy was all about building things that will last as a result of the Olympics, so building sports facilities, building sports clubs, and all of that kind of stuff. So I think of that as well. And when I looked at the Bible, I looked at doing the wrong order. Sorry, sorry, Ben. I'm going for my first scripture first. In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21, it talks about legacy. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that I think, is our outlook on legacy. It's not about building arenas for sporting events. It's not even about storing up something to leave for our relatives financially, although that could also be a good thing. but it's about what are we building in the spiritual realm? What are we building that doesn't rust and doesn't get destroyed? I also had a song in my head when I was thinking about legacy. It's very, very old. I'm not going to play it for you, at least not immediately. But I do want to put up the chorus. I don't think I've listened to it for about 10 years. So it amused me when God put this into my head when he was talking about it. It says, "I want to leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough to make a mark on things? I want to leave an offering. A child of mercy and grace who blessed your name unapologetically, and leave that kind of legacy." And those words came back to me when I was preparing for this. I thought, what is it that I am building that is a lasting legacy, a legacy that points to you, a legacy that is about something more than the physical? So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I've got three-ish thoughts on what are we building that will last. At this point, I'm not sure if these 3 points are going to come out as 3 points. I said to God, Daniel messaged me yesterday, said, how are you feeling? and I said, well, I've done my preparation, but at the moment it all seems to be a bit of a series of random ramblings. His encouragement to me was, well, if you prepare too much, you don't leave room for God to do anything, which was a very good point. So I am praying that despite the random ramblings and overlaps and incoherent what's it, God will bring everything together and make all these bits that I've got hang together and give us some sort of focus. So pray that with me, please. My three things are about relationships. Because the kingdom of God is about relationships. And what we are building on this earth, the assignment of Christianity, is your kingdom come. We've been singing about that this morning. We've said your kingdom come quickly. We want to see God's kingdom come on the earth. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is all about relationships. In fact, when I started to think about scriptures that would talk about God's kingdom coming, I couldn't find one. I could find about hundreds. Because pretty much the only thing that Jesus talked about, and then the apostles as well, was God's kingdom. And if you look closely at all of those things that he said, everything he was talking about was about relationships. He was talking about starting healthy relationships. He was talking about growing healthy relationships, strengthening healthy relationships, healing relationships that had been broken. That's the kingdom of God, and that's what we're trying to build as Christians. So, let's look at relationships for a bit. I've not been very good at relationships. I used to say years ago that I had no regrets about anything I'd done in my life, good or bad, because everything that I had been through had made me who I am, had helped me learn, had helped me grow, and I don't believe a word of it anymore. Yes, I've been through things and they've helped me grow. But my biggest regrets in life are when I look back and I see the relationships that I've damaged. Now, I didn't do any of that deliberately. I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to love because I hadn't been shown how to love at that point. There will be people in this room that have been let down by me or have been hurt by me in relationship because that's a fact of life. There will certainly be a lot of people out there who have been hurt by me because when I tried to have relationships, I wasn't very good at it. I'm still not. I'm working on it. God's helping me. But we're getting there. I also look back and I see damage that's been inflicted on me by unhealthy relationships. And that's another area that God's working on in my life. My old pattern used to be that if a relationship didn't seem to be working, I would either think, oh, well, it wasn't that great anyway. Or I would blame the other person and go, oh, well, there must be something that, like, maybe we just don't click, maybe there's nothing there. And I just discard it and move on. My life has been a series of very good, intense friendships, at least I thought they were, until I look back and see that they didn't last. So they couldn't have been that good, because the stuff that we build is supposed to last. The heavenly stuff, the relationship stuff, is supposed to last. So to go back to the song, I want to choose to love now. I want to treat relationships differently. I want to choose to love people in relationship. life's busy. You know, I'm standing up here, a mum of three children, three little children, one of them had a birthday today. I was, someone said, are you nervous about this morning? And Chris reminded me that three years ago today, I was waiting for a cesarean. Now that's nerves. So I'm nowhere near as nervous this morning as I was this time 3 years ago. I want to choose to love. I want my relationships to be about me choosing to love people, not to discard people or abuse people. Not deliberately, but I didn't know how to do it any other way. So when life is busy, I look around sometimes, and I don't know about you guys, but I have been so guilty of this. I look around and I see this sea of people here in life outside of church, and I'm overwhelmed by the possibilities of the people that I could have relationships with. And you think, how on earth can I have a quality relationship with all of those people? Because surely that's what I'm being called to do as a Christian. It's about pursuing the kingdom of God, which is relationships. How can I have a relationship with all of these people? Well, the simple answer is I can't. At least I can't have a deep, intimate relationship with all of those people. But I can have a positive relationship with all of those people. I can choose to love the person who I pass in the street by smiling and saying good morning. I can choose to love the person who cut me up in the school playground, in the school car park, by reversing and letting them out and waving and saying, it's okay. I can also choose to love those people who are closest to me by allowing them in, by being vulnerable and being honest. And there are different ways of having a relationship with everybody. And what I'm asking God to do now is to highlight to me what are key relationships in my life? Who are the people that I'm really supposed to be deeply investing in? And how can I choose to love the others as well? Because that is what will point people to him. Did I point to you enough? I have got relationships in my life that need healing. I've got relationships with friends and family members that he's asking me to heal. And he's helping me on that way. Because none of this stuff we do on our own. And that this is where it gets kind of, there's a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of that. So I will come back to we don't do this on our own. because we can't point to him unless we know him. And all of our relationships are about our relationship with him. So, let's have another scripture. Let's have Matthew 28. Because I touched on this a little bit earlier on. When I was talking about what is the assignment of Christianity. Well, people look at this and they say, there we go, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Because this is what Jesus said to his disciples. The last thing he said before he went back to his Father in heaven. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. So he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, people think a lot of different things about what that actually means. When I was a young Christian, I was taught that that meant that I had to go out and preach the gospel to everybody, and everybody I met needed to hear about Jesus. I still believe that everybody I meet needs to know about Jesus. but I don't necessarily think the same about how you do that as I used to. Because what it doesn't say is go and sniff out sin. It doesn't say go and tell people what to do. It doesn't say go and tell people what they're doing wrong and how they need to change that. It says go and make disciples. And making disciples was what Jesus did. He didn't correct his disciples. He had Judas alongside him the whole time. And he knew that he was a thief. He knew that he was embezzling the money. But he didn't correct him. He actually gave him the money to deal with. He knew that he didn't get it, but that wasn't his role. His role was to take him by the hand and show him the kingdom of God. And I believe that's our role too. That's what we're supposed to do when we make disciples. So my second point was about laying a path to freedom. Where we walk, we want to take other people by the hand and help them to experience what the kingdom of God is like. I had the absolute privilege of working with our children and young people for about the last 10 years, 10, 11, something like that. And it's been an absolutely amazing privilege. And a lot of people would say kind of that is a part of my legacy. And I believe it is. But I don't believe that God called me into working with our children and young people because he needed me to do that. It wasn't because our children and young people needed me. They didn't. They needed God. And I needed God in order to work with our children and young people. I've shared a lot of times that when I first started working with youth, I was petrified of teenagers. Which seems ironic that God would lead you into working with teenagers. And I now know that that's because in doing that, I needed him. And I needed to be closer to him because I couldn't do any of that on my own. And those teenagers didn't need me. They needed to see God in me. They needed an experience of the kingdom. Sometimes I probably pointed them to the kingdom. Sometimes I probably got it wrong. But the great thing about God is that when we get it wrong, he goes, never mind. He clears it up and sorts it out. I love watching the young people that I've worked with going on with God. It's incredible when I see young people getting married. It's been great to go to the weddings of young people that I've worked with, to see them going off and doing great things for God all over the world. There are always challenges. There are seeds that I know have been sown by God into young people's lives, and they don't look like they're producing anything yet. That doesn't mean they're not, because we don't know what's going on inside. But I know that that God in me and in the other people that were working with those young people have pointed them to the kingdom. And he knew that I would grow as a result. I wouldn't be standing here now if I hadn't been obedient to what he was saying then. Because he's grown things in me in the last 10 or 11 years, far probably beyond anything that I've given to them. And that, when we commit to laying a path to freedom for others, that's what God does. We take our eyes off what we need, and we see what other people need through him. Now as a mum, you know, my focus is on my children. I am, of course, enormously motivated to see my children learn to have a relationship with God that is intimate and vibrant and exciting and takes them amazing places. And that's my prayer. That's my passion right now. to know, for them to know that they have somebody who loves them completely, and not just me. God has also placed me alongside loads of friends. Being a mum is a brand new season. Like, anyone who's been a mum, whether it's recently or a long time ago, will know that it's very different. suddenly you have this massive group of people, other mums, that that are right there, and you have all this stuff in common with, and they're potential new relationships. But you can't underestimate, if you know mums, you can't underestimate the amount of need, anxiety, exhaustion, worry, stress that mums go through. And in my relationships with them, am I making that worse? Or am I pointing them to something that can bring them freedom from that? Am I demonstrating that in my own life? Not all the time. But I know that God has got me on a journey, and part of that journey is to put my hand out and say, come with me and I'll show you how to be free of some of this stuff. So when we ask God to give us his heart for the people around us, he will show us how to help them along that journey. That's when it goes from being me to being us. And that is the kingdom of God. That is something else that we can build, and it will last. So, I said earlier, we can't point to him without being in relationship with him. And we can't. Have you met people? They're hard work. And that was why I made so many mistakes in my relationships in the past, because I didn't go first to him to get what I needed. In 1 John 4, verses 19 and 20, it says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, when God says a command, I now know that this is not God going, you will love your brother. It's God saying, you now have the ability to love your brother, because you first loved me and I loved you. And that love within you gives you the ability to go out and love your brother. And if you can't love your brother, it's because your relationship with God is not there. It's impossible to really, really love unconditionally when times are tough in your own strength. Absolutely impossible. But in relationship with God, you can do it, because you can do all things through him who gives you strength. That's not supposed to be about doing triathlons. Don't tell Daniel. So people ask me, okay, you're a busy mum. How do you have time to have an intimate relationship with God? Well, I certainly don't do it by getting up before it's light and having my quiet time. I am continually in awe of people who can do that, but I can't. I'm up before it's light anyway. Well, sometimes. Luckily, my children sleep. Nothing I did. I'm very blessed. But I don't think that that's necessarily what God wants for me anyway. Don't get me wrong, time, quiet time away with just you and God is amazing. But how often does it actually happen? What God wants in relationship with you is to be in relationship with you. Not someone you go and visit, say hi to, have a lovely time and then go away and disappear and never talk to him again for the rest of the day. And I've learnt that the hard way because I can't do anything else. But I used to feel really, really guilty about the fact that I wasn't good at quiet times, to the point where I used to lie about it. I used to tell people, oh, yes, I had my quiet time this morning. Yes, it was brilliant. Yes, yes, I read that. And I didn't. Of course I didn't. I was rubbish at it. I'm just not that kind of person anyway. But I felt judged that was what good Christians were supposed to do. And that was how you built a relationship with God. And if I wasn't doing that, then I wasn't building a relationship with God. And that is lies. You can have an intimate relationship with God, however your day looks, however your life looks. And anyone who tells you you can't is a liar, because you can take God anywhere with you. He can go, you can have a conversation with him wherever you are. You can listen and he can speak. And that's how it's supposed to be. So consequently, my relationship with God used to be like all my other relationships, completely superficial. I popped in on a Sunday, said hello, sang some songs, looked like I was worshipping beautifully, and then went away again. And if you were lucky, I read my Bible at some point during the week. But it wasn't deep. And I know that's what I need, because I wasn't feeling free in my life. I couldn't love. I couldn't point people to him. I couldn't give grace and mercy. If you put the song words back up, it says, am I a child of mercy and grace? Well, no, I wasn't, because when someone cut me up in the school car park, I was not reversing nicely and waving and saying, after you. I was not a child of mercy and grace. And it was because my relationship with God was superficial, just as my relationships with others were. God gave me this talk over about 2 or 3 weeks. And most of it he gave me in the shower. Because the shower is pretty much the only place I get on my own. So in the shower, he tells me stuff. I listen. I say stuff to him. More often, actually, he says stuff to me. Probably because that's the only place that it's quiet enough for him to get a word in edgeways. Mostly in the shower. And I said to Chris this morning, we got up, did birthday presents and all of that kind of stuff. And I said to Chris, I'd just really like 10 minutes to have a look through my talk before I go out. So I took my notes and I sat down in the living room, and I think it must have been, they were all in the kitchen having breakfast. I must have been there, managed about 2 minutes, I think, when the girls came in, Naomi with her new bright pink electric guitar, Esther with the bright pink keyboard, both microphones going, and I was like, okay, so God, it's down to you then, the distractions, that's how it is. But actually, that's how it's supposed to be, to enable us to take him with us wherever we go, to bring him into situations. We have to be able to learn to hear God on the hop. And what Pete was talking about last week, I so wish he was here. I was so going to get him back for getting me up here. But he's not here, so I can't. Last week I thought it's okay because I'm preaching next week, so I can get him back. But he's not here. But he was talking last week. If you didn't hear it, it was really good. So go and listen again. He was talking about asking God, Father, what do you think? And listening to what he's saying, particularly in situations of stress, because God doesn't get stressed. So what he thinks is going to help us on that path to freedom from stress. And that learning to do that for me has been really key. Learning to say to him, when something's going on, Father, what do you think about that? And keeping that constant dialogue with him. and learning to be confident that what I hear is him. Now, I'm really passionate at the moment about helping other people to learn to hear God's voice, because for years I wasn't confident in it. And learning to hear God's voice confidently has brought me so much freedom. I know how important it is. It's actually quite easy, but I'm aware that standing up saying that, I'm saying that to a lot of people who'll be going, yeah, well, it's all right for you. Well, I didn't used to find it easy, and now I realise that actually it is. So this church is passionate about helping you to hear God's voice more confidently, and so am I. So talk to someone. Again, it's another area where I used to lie, because I couldn't say that I didn't hear God confidently, because what would people think? They would go, well, why not? You've been a Christian for years. Of course you've got to be able to hear God confidently. So I used to say I could, and I couldn't, but now I can. So it's not something to be afraid of being judged over. It's okay. I know it's hard sometimes. Tell people, be honest. And the key to relationships, actually, is being prepared to be honest and saying, this is the real me. This is what I find tricky. Will you help me with this? Rather than, yeah, I'm fine. Because nobody can have a relationship with somebody who's fine. Because it's not real, is it? We're never fine all the time. So, what am I building? I am building my relationships, because that's what the kingdom of God is. And I am building my relationships with people and with God, because I can't do one without the other. When I hear God's heart for people, I want to love them. When I look at people, I need God. So the two go hand in hand. The kingdom of God is all about that. So what is my legacy? I want this to be my legacy. I don't want them to remember me. I want them to remember God. Did I choose to love? Did I point to him enough? Was I a child of mercy and grace? Because that's the kind of legacy that I want to leave. And that's the kind of legacy that I believe God has got for all of us.